little pop-up. John, we do have a quorum at this time.
Sherry, thank you so very much. And to everybody else, Happy New Year and welcome to the January 5th Alaska Land Mobile Radio User Conference meeting. At this time, I'd like to start the meeting since we do have a quorum. Sherry, if you could call roll, I would appreciate it.
Okay, on the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. Pete Rogel, Mr. Mickey Flores, Mr. Ross Atkinson, Mr. John Kruna, Mr. John Rockwell, Ms. Tammy Gogia, Mr. Tim Woodall, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. Nate Skinner, Ms. Christine O'Connor, Mr. Sam Young. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called?
Hello, this is Scott Nelson.
Okay, thank you.
And David Reed.
Thank you. And then present in Anchorage, I show Mr. Dan Nelson. Anybody else present in Anchorage?
Yeah, Sherry Travis is here.
Okay, thank you. And that should complete the roll call.
Jimmy Nelson, Forest Service.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
John, that completes the roll call.
Sherry, thank you so very much. And to continue with the agenda, the next bullet item is a review and approval of the December meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review the December meeting minutes. At this time, I open the floor for any comments, questions, or updates. Hearing none, we'll approve the December meeting minutes. Going on to the review of the issues and risk log. I believe there are two items. Number one is welcome Ms. Tammy Gogia as the primary municipalities slash central representative. She has been approved through the executive council. And also an item here that Chief Pete Menarek will be retiring effective January 7th. That's all I have listed on the issues and risk log. Moving on to the action item list, we still have one action item open from the December 2nd meeting.
John?
Yes, ma'am.
I apologize. Did we get a motion to approve the minutes in a second?
No, I probably skipped that and I apologize. So if I could go back, can we get a motion to approve the December meeting minutes?
Motion to approve, Scott Nelson.
Thank you, Scott. And a second.
Tammy, seconds.
Tammy, thank you so very much. And again, we can open the floor one more time to see if there are any questions or updates to the meeting minutes. And hearing none, we'll approve the meeting minutes. Again, the review of the action item list, there was that one item open from the December 2nd meeting from 2020, and that's for the UC to develop a transition policy regarding the timeline for replacement of non-TDMA radios. I know that that's been discussed quite a bit, and at this time we have no resolution to that action. Next item on the agenda is the Operations Management Office overview. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Dan Nelson.
Thank you very much, and certainly Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you for joining us today. So I've got a bit of a lengthy report here, and I'll try and keep it everything straight here. So I'm going to start off with training. We didn't do a whole lot of training here in December. The holidays were certainly in full force, but we do have some training planned for the first quarter of this year. Some additional vignette videos. We'll hopefully get those produced and up on some operations and specific things. As a reminder, those are the little maybe 3 to 6 minute videos on a specific topic that are meant to be a quick reference for users to find information and kind of have that YouTube style of training. For the first quarter, we do plan to have a live training on Teams, and that is going to be related to programming best practices. So this will be more aimed towards some of the folks that do radio maintenance and programming for the specific agencies. It's not a programming course, so I'll just make that clear, but we want to really show a few things in there that the help desk sees quite a bit and issues that can cause operational impact that are just good best practices. So we will have more on that as well as a specific date here, probably very early February, and get that announced to everybody. Speaking of training on our website, I just want to remind everybody on the meeting that we have a training request form on our website, which we modified slightly to make it a bit easier. It's a quick form to fill out. But if you have a request for a specific topic, please jump on there and fill that form out. And that helps us adjust our training plan accordingly and helps us keep an idea of what folks want to see from a training perspective. And of course, feel free to reach out to myself or Sherry as well if you want to have a discussion around some of the training issues. I want to add a note here about our website, the Alaskan Mobile Radio website. We are running into some issues, particularly with our DoD customers in accessing certain information. The website is up, but there's some issues with the content and where that's stored. We're preparing to move servers, and that should resolve the issue. But that is a little bit technically involved, and we haven't quite gotten everything in line yet with our hosting provider to do that. So in the meantime, if there is anybody out there that isn't able to access anything, please contact Sherry or myself. We'll get you what you need right away. Console reboots is the next issue, and we had a review of some of our security assurance findings, and this was an issue that came up that I wanted to share with folks. Anything that we have a dispatch console attached to the ALMR system, many of you that run dispatch centers or have that type of equipment are familiar with the email that will come from the help desk on a monthly basis talking about patching. We've reviewed some of the reports and some of those consoles, and there are consoles out there that have gone many months without rebooting. And when they don't get rebooted, just like your desktop computer, the patches don't get applied. And that was identified as one of the more serious security issues that we have in the ALMR system this year. So I just want to mention to the user council representatives, if you represent dispatch centers or other folks that have consoles, please encourage those folks to reboot them regularly. We suggest you might want to just do a weekly reboot just to keep it running and make sure those patches are applied, but at least when you get that email notification from the help desk. And if you do have consoles and you aren't getting that email notification, please send an email to the help desk. We'll make sure you get on that list. But those security patches are very, very important to our overall security program, and those reboots are how they get applied. So I wanted to mention that to folks. Going on to some of our annual reports, the user council is going to get some of these reports today or tomorrow before they go to the executive council for their January 20th meeting, and you'll see those listed. That's our business case, the annual information assurance report. That's the security that I was just speaking about, and the annual report for system operations and management. So please keep an eye out for those. Those annual reports are done and will be out to you before it goes to the executive council. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit here, going to December document reviews. I'm just going to mention the documents we did, which is the security controls review, radio usage protocols, the system account control policy and procedure, vulnerability management policy and procedure, roles and responsibilities document, and the system description. Were all reviewed with no substantive changes this December. I'm going to go back and talk about the grant guide for just a moment as a document we have that's out of the cycle. we've been looking at grant options and different resources for our members, especially as it relates to the TDMA transition. And so one of the things we get questions on quite a bit is what are some of those grant opportunities? Where can I potentially get funding for equipment? And those questions are certainly becoming more and more relevant as we have, you know, potential funding sources such as CARES Act, the infrastructure bill, and those types of things. So we thought it appropriate to take a look at the grant guide, which has some guidance for our members on good best practices. It has sample language and some of those things. So we took a look at that, and a revision was needed to help clarify things. And we also added some language to that guide, some sample language specifically for folks that may be applying for TDMA radios going from that phase one to phase two. That's going to mostly apply, of course, to our local municipalities and our nonprofit organizations, but at different levels of government, that language may be helpful both for grants and also maybe for business case justification, budget process, and those types of things. So we've revised that, and I believe, I'm going to ask Sherry to correct me here, I think we are going to send that out as well and ask for an email vote of approval since that is a substantive change. Sherry, am I stating that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. I was on mute. I'll be sending that out either later this afternoon or tomorrow.
I appreciate that. And if you can get back to us with any comments or approval on that, that would be appreciated. There is a article about grant opportunities in the ALMR newsletter that's coming out on January 15th, which references our members to that guide. So that may be helpful for user council representatives that have some folks that may be asking those questions, but if we can update that before then, that would certainly be appreciated. I'm jumping around here a little bit, so I want to go back to just mention our vendor calls. So this is something that's not listed on the LMO report on the agenda, but I just wanted to mention that we are going to be reaching out to our vendors, radio vendors here locally and the manufacturers to set up a call probably near the end of this month. This is something that was happening last year before the upgrade hit, but this is a way for us to maintain good communications with our radio vendors on behalf of our members, let them know what's going on, especially with the upgrade and the TDMA transition and some of those things. Also lets us kind of know what's going on in their world, what they're seeing with their customers. We know the upgrade is certainly going to be a topic, but also as a point of reminder, last year the NFPA standard for firefighter radios came out, and right now there is no radio on the market that is compliant with this standard, but we were told early 2022 to start seeing some of those models come out. I know a number of our fire departments are interested in that, and they are making those radio purchases to get them information on whether they need to wait, whether they want to go with those products, et cetera. And of course, any new radios have to go through our acceptance test procedures. So those calls are just a good line of communication to be open with both the system and those folks. So we are planning to start that, and we will be reaching out with the invoices here shortly. Going to our December metrics, and I just want to put up on the screen for everybody here briefly. You can see in our monthly group and individual calls about 1,148,000 for those. Push to talks, just about 2.1 million. Those were up from last month. Our busies were up, 386 busies, and I think reviewing that, I think there were some exercises going on with some of our DOD customers that might have contributed to that. There's sales are up, but not anything of showing a particular trend or concern. And then as we look at our fire sites below 3.9s, we did have 6 total. Those were mostly due to weather issues and backhaul issues that some that are known and some that are still being worked on, especially some of the sites in Kodiak. There were some power issues in a few of those sites in Zone 2. So you can see, obviously, with the preventative maintenance and the upgrades from that graph going down, that our sites below 3.9s is going down. And again, they have some good reasoning to them and definitely things that have been attended to. I just wanted to share here a little bit. I did a little comparison of 2021 versus 2022 in our metrics. So the end of 2021 versus the end, the end of 2020 versus the end of 2021, we gained 3 member agencies, an additional 1,533 subscriber units, and our push to talks over last year was an increase of almost 2.4 million from 2020 to 2021. So certainly the system is continuing to be utilized and increased and growing. So certainly appreciate that. That is going to conclude the end of my prepared report. I did want to, I know he's not on the line and wrapping up things, but did want to say a thank you to Chief Lenart, the Police Department, for serving on the council as an alternate. And certainly I've had a chance to work with him at AST and at SPD over the years. So he certainly will be missed and want to thank him for that. Before I go to any user council representative reports, I just want to stop for a moment and ask if there are any questions I can answer. And I'm not hearing any, so ask our user council representatives if they have any questions or any issues to report. Start in the central area. Anything from central? I'm not hearing any there. How about going to Southeast? Any questions or reports from Southeast? And let's end up North. Anything from the North area?
Yeah, good afternoon. Kyle Green here. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. Chief Berrying sends his regards. He's tied up on a call right now. We did have a couple things just to let you know about. We are working on our updates to our contacts for the our area that we represent up here. Who do we send those to when we finish that? We hope to have them finished by the end of the month.
And if you wouldn't mind, send that to Sherry, and we can make sure we get that corrected.
Excellent. We will get that to Sherry. One of the other questions we had, and I apologize if I missed this in your report, sir. I came in late. It's a little bit busy here in the interior today. The latest survey that occurred a couple months back, is there any timeline yet when we might be able to see the report or see the results of that survey?
And are you checking on the coverage survey or the customer satisfaction survey? Can you clarify for me, or both?
It's both, yeah.
Okay. I did a summary here of just the customer experience survey. I have not written up anything real specific for the coverage survey as of yet. The reason is it was a fairly low response, and we didn't really get any new information, just confirming some of the coverage areas we had. I'm certainly happy to formalize that and summarize that data, and I can bring that forward at the next user council meeting. And like I say, I just didn't really do it because there wasn't a whole lot of new information, but happy to get that summary included in the next packet.
All right, thank you, Mr. Nelson. I appreciate that. We're interested in it as Deputy Chief Berrien and I are learning our roles here, and we do have a desire to have additional or more communication with our members that we represent here in the Northern region. And so a part of that learning is, what questions do we need to ask our users rather than just giving them a blank slate and tell us everything? And so we're interested in that. I did receive a copy of the annual assessment on system operations and management performance. And I noted there that one of the areas that we're watching here in the interior is the Chena Dome, Chena Hot Springs Road, and it's been on the list since 2013. So, you know, revitalizing those conversations is of interest to me and Deputy Chief Berrien, and perhaps something that, you know, I see that funding is an issue. You know, we can't start the conversations if we don't have additional information from our user groups to go to our delegates. To talk about that coverage there on the Chena Dome, Chena Hot Springs Road. So, whatever we could get to help us get up to speed to make progress in our northern represented area would be certainly helpful and much welcomed.
I certainly appreciate that, and we'll get that information for the entire council in the next packet, and I'll be happy to talk with both of you if you'd like on that coverage issue, and maybe in potentially going together and talking with some of our folks that are elected representatives and we're talking about some of that strategy around here as well. So certainly appreciate it. And yes, I'll be in touch with you on some of those issues and bring that to the entire council next month, the February meeting.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nelson. I'll reach out here in an email in the next couple of days.
Thank you. And was there anything else from any user council reps before I turn it back over? I appreciate that. And John, that concludes my report.
Thank you very much, sir. And I appreciate your report. Moving to the next item, it's the System Management Office overview. And I will turn it over to Mr. Travis Connett. Travis?
All right, thanks, John. Just wanted to set up a couple things to bring up. I'm sure a lot of you guys were aware of the severe winds that the Valley had over the last weekend. There was gusts up over 90 miles per hour. There's a lot of building damage out there. But just want to let you guys know about ALMR. There was no shelter, tower, or antenna damage that I'm aware of out there. We didn't experience any kind of outage on any of our sites. So just a good note, just wanted to let everybody know that we didn't see any kind of issues out there with that storm. And also want to let you guys know kind of my travel this month. I'll be going down to Kenai Soldotna next week, towards the end of next week, to do some work on the Kenai site. And then myself and Dan are looking at traveling up to Fairbanks into the month to kind of visit some of the sites up there in that area. So just want to let everybody know if they can reach out to me directly or the help desk. If anybody wants to meet and discuss ALMR or have any questions, concerns, any of that stuff while we're out traveling around. And that's all I had, John.
Thank you very much, Travis. Are there any questions for Travis or the System Management Office? Hearing none, we can move on to the next agenda item, which is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. Mr. Stormo, are you online?
I am, John. Thanks.
Excellent. I'm going to turn it over to you, Scott. Thank you.
All right. I just want to kind of second the, I would say it was a lot of good luck with the much wind that was happening out in parts of the state. It is, I'd say we were pretty lucky that we didn't have any damage. Usually there's a lot of big dishes on those towers, and even with the extra bracing that's on those, they don't often survive winds that get that high without getting pointed in the wrong direction. So we made it through that. We had a few places when they lost commercial power that the generators did not start. We're not entirely sure what caused that yet, but it is probably because it was extremely cold in the gen shelter at the time when they were trying to start, and the generator probably just wouldn't get started. So the generators are exercised weekly, so normally if they weren't going to work, we would kind of at least had a heads up that it didn't start during the last exercise process. So overall, pretty happy with how the system held up during that. Some of you probably remember when we awarded the upgrade for the system to Motorola a year and a half ago, I guess that was now. There were TDMA flash upgrades for state and local radios provided as part of that. And we are probably within the next month or so, we have those in our office, and we will be getting in touch with the local agency's rep to get those boxes of flash upgrades shipped out to them with some information on what they would need to do with those for their APX style radios that they have on hand at the time when the contract was rewarded, so they could flash upgrade those to support TDMA. TDMA has not yet turned on the system, so that we won't have the benefit of that until that happens, which probably be sometime next fall or later after the entire system is upgrade is complete. Other than that, we're continuing with some microwave upgrades and refreshes and battery plant installs and starting some life cycle repairs and replacements on HVAC systems that are starting to wear out as the system is over 15 years old in many places, which doesn't seem like it's been around that long, but some of those things are starting to wear out and we're working on replacing those. So that is all I have, John, unless there's any questions for the state.
Well, Scott, thank you very much. Open the floor for questions for Scott. Hearing none, we move to the next item, which is the Department of Defense.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. We're tracking funding for the upgrades. The Air Force has acquired all of their funding. We're looking hopefully to get a task order executed against those funds sometime pretty quick. Army senior leadership is aware of the requirement for funding, and we expect, well, it is our understanding that funding will probably be available by the end of the second quarter. At least that's the push. So from that perspective, with regard to upgrading DoD equipment in the fall, we should be on track with that. As far as TDMA goes on subscriber radios, I think everyone is tracking. It is more imperative than ever to have a compliance by date. It certainly will help us to make sure that we get the appropriate fiduciary planning that has to go into place in order to get the funding to do so. Yeah, I know associated with some of the upgrades that are coming through that there is some provision for some subscriber updates to TDMA for the APX, and also new subscriber buys should, for DoD, if you're buying new subscribers, have the TDMA capability added when you buy new radios. We will be turning in a couple hundred of XTX 5000 radios here in the next several weeks to the DRMO process. So if there are state or federal agencies that are interested in getting those radios, so they would have to attend to the DRMO process for getting those resources. That's all the info I have. Any questions for DoD?
Thank you, Mr. Woodall. Are there any questions for Tim at this time?
Yeah, this is Rick from the Army. I'm not aware of funding pending in third quarter for LMR purposes. The feedback that I've received has been quite noncommittal. If you've got different information, then I'm very excited to hear about it. But it's been fairly doom and gloom from my foxhole. Over.
Tracking that, Rick, I think Colonel Davis met with the USAR PAC commander, Colonel Miller, and some other key personnel. And during that meeting, there was an acknowledgement that the funding was required and an acknowledgement that it would be found or provided. So that's what our senior leadership is tracking. That's at the command level, senior leadership level. So be a good idea if you could touch base at that level and see if you're getting some other message, so I can give that to Colonel Davis and we can go from there.
Yeah, I would just add on to that. I did engage with 516th Commander. I also engaged with General Norris, who gave me the same feedback. They are not the funding organization, but they support it. They're just not paying for it. So I guess more to follow on that front.
Yeah, yeah, we're tracking that, but the funding agencies are being positively persuaded.
More to follow.
From my understanding. So
it's probably
at this point we're gonna remain positive and believe that the funding will be there.
Right, right. Nothing but good vibes.
In fact, I'll be talking to Scott about getting a task order in place so that if funding does show that we can apply it quickly.
All right, let me poke it back up through my channels, and maybe we'll have good news for a change just in time for the new year.
The new year's here. Okay, thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any other questions for Tim?
Not a question, but this is Staff Sergeant Angel with the base radio shop on J-Bear. I'm doing my best to remove the remaining 129 EF Johnson radios from our from in-use status to not in-use status and remove them from the provisioning manager 100%.
Most excellent. We appreciate that. Right, Dan?
Absolutely. Yes, we do.
Absolutely. Thank you. And before we move to new business, I would like to just say thank you so much to Dan, the OMO office, the SMO office, and our partner agencies, State of Alaska, Municipality of Anchorage, and the DOD. This system, you know, in its entirety, is a system that you don't find in the lower 48, the way that we have our executive council and user council set up. And I know that we are the envy in many circles as far as how we collaborate. So again, a big thank you to everybody involved. Moving on to the next agenda item is new business. So at this time, I'd like to open the floor for any new business that you'd like to bring up.
Mr. Chair, Bruce Richter here, if I could.
Thank you, Bruce.
I tried dropping something in chat, and I'm not sure how readable it was, but your FEMA Region 10 RecWIG is hosting a free webinar on FEMA Zoom later this month. We're using somebody from Lane County, Oregon, who, after some sad lessons learned from a big snow event, a big wildfire event, finally realized they needed a little longer-lasting backup power at some of the remote sites. And so they're going to present, the agency is going to present on a remote power solution that they adopted, that they claim is providing up to 28 days or more of backup power. And that session should be recorded and on the RecWIG website. And just a quick plug for the RecWIG Tidbits newsletter. If people are interested in getting more information about what's going on with the region and the Regional Emergency Communications Working Group, there's a pretty good bi-weekly newsletter that comes out that's called Tidbits, so twice a month. And if you want to be added to it, please just shoot me an email or, you know, get you on that email list. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Bruce, thank you very much. And yeah, it's very difficult to read the text. It looks like it's a black on a gray background. And so I can read it if I highlight it all. And again, thank you for the information regarding the RecWIG. And I do want to encourage anybody to sign up for the tidbits. Laura does an awesome job keeping track of all the different meetings and issues that are coming out there, especially focusing on Region 10. Any other new business? Also, I'd like to open the floor for anybody that has any questions for anybody else in the group or would just like to mention what they're doing out there, how they're using the system, or maybe even how the system is not working for them, because we would always like to have feedback, even if it does sound constructive. Well, hearing none, before we ask to adjourn, and I do hear someone coming up, so yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Rick from the Army again. Yeah, we're using the LMR for a four-star exercise that involves some of the changes that are going on with the Arctic partnerships worldwide between military forces. The observer controllers for this exercise are all 100% an LMR show, and I have no doubt that it will perform absolutely flawlessly out there in the great wide DTA, which is up by Delta, if you haven't been there. So you can always throw that out there. We've got over 200 participants that will be relying on LMR for administrative, logistics, and operational control of this exercise. So it's a pretty big deal in Army circles.
When is that exercise, Rick?
We're, the signal's always the first guys in. So we're going in about mid-February. We expect to see the traffic, which will mostly be Donnelly Dome, March, starting around the 5th and ending sometime after the 17th. 5th through 17th is the exercise, and that's when they'll be out doing tactical training. This is something that's especially important as there are proposed changes to Army forces in Alaska and proposed changes to Army missions in Alaska that are pretty significant.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Rick, for the update. Are there any questions for Mr. Williams regarding the exercise? How about any other questions or comments from the group? Well, reading the agenda, our next meetings are currently scheduled for February 2nd and then March 2nd. Dan, before we ask for adjournment, in the previous few meetings, we've been having either a training or an update session after we adjourn. I don't see anything on the agenda for this meeting. Is that accurate, or do you have something that is planned that I'm just unaware of?
No, John, you are correct, and thank you very much for the reminder because I missed it in my report. We don't have anything scheduled for this meeting. However, next meeting, we have a commitment here from Motorola. They'll be doing a demo of the APX Next product, which is not available on the system yet, but I know there's a lot of interest in it, and that's the product that really combines a lot of land mobile radio plus radio over LTE and some of those things. So that is scheduled for February, and then we have another company in March that the DOT is using. So nothing here for the new year, but the next few meetings, we do have some programs scheduled for everybody, and we'll announce those, of course, well ahead of time.
And we do appreciate it, Mr. Nelson. All right. Last chance for any other either new business or comments or questions. Hearing none, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Henry Cole. Also move.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cole. And a second.
Staff Sergeant Angel,
Scott Nelson, second.
I didn't get who that was. Sherry, did you hear that?
I heard two people talking. So.
May I ask for a second again?
This is Scott Nelson, second.
Scott Nelson, thank you so very much. And at this time, we're adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you, everybody.